Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning, Kansas City. You are listening to Religion on the Line, Kansas City's longest-running religion radio show for now 22 years. Is that right, Michael?
I don't know anymore, John.
You forgot your age?
You know, that's actually of amusement in that there are occasions when somebody might ask me my age, and I really don't have a recollection. I just don't remember.
Yes.
It's a matter of age that I can't remember. It's a matter of that I don't think about it.
Well,
but there's that today, great line by... Oh, go ahead.
Well, today we need you to think about something.
But there's a great line by Satchel Paige, less well known than his "Don't Look Back, Somebody May Be Gaining on You." Is, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you was? You
know? Yeah.
But I am. This shocks me. I am. I'll be 69 in August. I don't know how that happened, but it did, or will.
Well, you don't sound or act like you're 69.
That's probably true. Whatever 69 is supposed to be. But,
yeah.
The new 40.
Yes. If you're the reference, if you're the control, if you're the positive control for the age of 69, then I think we're all in good shape.
Oh,
well, I am John Perk.
You're kind to suggest that. I'm flattered and appreciative, but who knows? It's all one brief blink of an eye in some ways, and it's all been a wonderful and amazing journey. And I want more, and, you know, we've discussed this before. There's a stunning aspect to the gift of life, and we'll get deep into stuff right away. There was a wonderful rabbi by the name of Leo Beck, who was the leading rabbi of the German Jewish community in the dark days that we call World War II, the Holocaust, etc. And one of his lines, he spoke German, of course, one of his lines translates, "Life is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to God."
Yes, I've heard that somewhere in Catholic circles as well.
Ah, how dare they?
I'm sure we borrowed it. And my spiritual director, he would repeat over and over again, life is short. We're here but a few seconds, and then we're gone. And Michael, you were talking about what is there after the age of 69. So are you a Sadducee or a Pharisee?
For those who don't know what John is referring to, one of the understandings of the great dispute between the people whom in English we call Sadducees and Pharisees is what happens after the mystery we call life? What is the next mystery? Is it anything? Is there something? Is there resurrection? Is there immortality of the soul? And the honest answer, John, is I very simply trust God on it, that whatever there may be or not be.
Uh-huh. Well, for our listeners, it's easy to tell the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because you see, the Sadducees are sad you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection.
I must admit, I've lived 69
years. You've never heard that?
Years, and I've never heard that before.
Amazing. I thought you probably taught it to us.
No. In Hebrew, it's sadikim.
Ah.
And they claim to be the righteous ones. Small aside, in rabbinical school, we sort of learned that the Sadducees were radical conservatives, what we might call, and it's with great imprecision, Tea Party-ish, and the Pharisees were, in their own time, radical liberals, what we might call in our time, socialist progressives?
Mm.
Now, again, those analogies are totally imprecise, but history has a way of incorporating things in different directions than the immediacy of what's happening before us, you know. But we've gotten highfalutin already. My goodness gracious!
Yeah, we're off to a rapid start.
You're John Perk, aren't you?
I am. Thanks for telling me. I forgot how forgot who I was. I'm John Perkin. Today is a special solemnity or a feast in the Catholic Church called the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. And so today I claim to be a member of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, along with
Reverend Robert Lee Hill. Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. Alarm problems, Robert?
No,
was right behind me.
I was right behind him, but I was a little bit late, and
probably 20 seconds.
Well, maybe a little bit of the alarm problem, but not enough to matter. Anyway, it's a beautiful day. It's great to hear your voice, Michael. And
thank you. It's good to be with you.
All right.
And by the way, good to be with you guys. I'll give you even a topper on that. This afternoon, the congregation I serve, Emmanuel, here in Chicago, will be having a celebration of the centenary year of Rabbi Herman Shalman and
his wife, Lottie.
No.
Wow.
He is 99, she is 100, or as he likes to say, they're both born in Germany, as a matter of fact. And he likes to say, well, I'm in my 100th year. They've been married for 74 years.
Wow.
And he has been a rabbi for 74 years.
Wow.
And we've got a wonderful celebration planned. In fact, if our listeners promise not to tell anybody, one surprise that just excites me. And I guess, as Karen knows, whenever I have a good surprise, I can't wait. You know.
Yeah.
We have a scribe is coming in, and one of our Torah scrolls was never finished, and we're going to give them the opportunity of filling in the last words of the Torah.
Whoa!
They don't know, so everybody keep that. Mum's the word. No, they don't know that yet.
Wow!
Well,
wow.
They didn't hear from us.
Very
at any rate,
nice.
Shall we play a game of what are some topics that people can ignore?
Yeah. Talk about it. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I've got a few items. Whether it stands or not against the possibility of a referendum, we have, I think, a momentous moment in American jurisprudence when Nebraska, which is generally understood to be, I think everyone would agree, a conservative state politically, but the legislature, the unicameral legislature, overrode the governor's veto of the death penalty, and at this moment, there's no death penalty, making it the 19th state to eliminate the death penalty. And there's a wonderful column in Friday's Wall Street Journal by Philip Thompson, who is the executive director of the Emory University Aquinas Center of Theology, and just one small piece of it. Since I now direct a Catholic Theology Center, I am also surprised by how many Christians support the death penalty. At the heart of our faith is a wrongful use of capital punishment.
And what is that guy's name?
Hold on. It's Philip Thompson.
Wow.
This sort of just...
They're still living in they still live in the Old Testament.
Well, unfortunately, I guess, even as the Old Testament, before Bob got into the studio, John and I were playing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and the rabbinic tradition for more than 2,000 years makes it impossible to impose the death penalty. So you got to recognize that it's a text. It's not God. That said...
And that should get some callers right there.
I hope it's not the usual. Burmese Buddhist monks lead a protest against outside pressure about Myanmar is what it's called now, right?
Treatment
of the Rohingya minority. And, you know, we in the West tend to have a very inflated opinion of the saintliness of the Buddhist tradition. It, alas, seems that Buddhists are no less nor more likely to succumb to the ugliness that seems to be about how we treat the other, the outsider, etc. It's just so painful to see. see this sort of thing endlessly go on. Here's one that really kind of grabbed my attention, and then I got one more if we have time before the break. This is a column by Gilbert Seawall. In the 1980s, he wrote a book, Necessary Lessons, Decline and Renewal in American Schools. And it's about his suggestion, and I hope some listeners might decide to punch in with a thought or two, a countercultural high school summer reading list. He's very concerned that the classics are no longer part of what young people are exposed to. And he gives a list, including recognizing short attention spans. So some of his first stuff is precisely that. And when we come back, I want to share his list.
Yeah, we do need to take a break, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. We're going to be right back after these messages.
You found us. KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Hope you're having a great weekend. Monday morning on the show, you think getting broken up by text is bad? Oh, things could get much, much worse. Detailed, 5 to 9 Monday morning on KCMO.
This is a special alert to Kansas City business owners. Google just announced a major change to the way your website is found. Digital Lagoon is offering a free analysis to determine if you meet the new standards. Go to lagoon.com, your hometown experts in search engine optimization, for your free analysis.
Markets don't always go up. Unfortunately, people have portfolios that can only go up in value if the stock market goes up. My name is Chris Butler, investment manager and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs, heard Saturdays on KCMO. Most people that have been working for a number of years know that the economy cycles through periods of boom and bust. So why wouldn't the markets, of which that economy is comprised, also exhibit periods of up moves and down moves? Of course they would, and they have, for as long as we have history. Investors actually have tools at their disposal that can either help protect their portfolios in a falling market or maybe even make money in that environment. But too few investors know what these tools are or how to use them. Incorporating those tools is just one element of what we call the all-weather approach to growth investing. You can learn more about that approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, download the report at investontrack.com.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are Making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Whatever you want, whatever you need, you will find it for less during our massive Memorial Day sale at Brown's Furniture in Blue Springs. Right now, half off or 60 months no-interest financing. Store-wide, you'll find items throughout Kansas City's best furniture and mattress selection. Half off or 60 months no interest. Furniture to fit your style. Sofas, recliners, dining sets, even bedroom inserta mattress sets. Half off or 60 months no interest. Come see why it's better at Brown's in Blue Springs. Brown's Furniture, 825 Southwest 40 Highway in Blue Springs.
You're tuned in to KCMO Talk Radio 710 at 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time, this is the place, as the Song of Solomon says, at least here in the heart of the country, the rain is gone and over, and we are here at Religion on the Line. At 576-7710, I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with...
John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with...
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. John, you, before Bob got on the air, you mentioned something about today being the solemnity of something.
Yes, it's the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity.
So what that phrase, which I understand the meaning of it, but I guess I don't understand how it gets attached to the notion of the Holy Trinity. Can you help me understand?
Well, the solemnity is a great feast. Another way of saying that.
Okay.
It's the feast that takes precedence over any other feast. And so today we celebrate, last week we celebrated Pentecost, the revelation of the encounter with the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the revelation of the encounter with the Most Holy Trinity, where Jesus's primary mission was to come to reveal our Father and to send the Holy Spirit. And this relationship, this communion with the Most Holy Trinity, was one of the commissionings he gave when he ascended to heaven, and he says, go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he wants to...
But historically, it's called the solemnity. I've just never heard the phrase attached as translation, a feast, or obviously solemnity is a word that's used all the time, but I've never heard it attached to it. Are there any other commemorations?
John, is this your preference for describing, or is that how any priest would call it of a Sunday morning?
No, this is how the whole church describes it. It's called the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity.
Is it new to you too, Bob?
Yeah. Well, I've heard John say it a lot in the studio, maybe, but I haven't heard... But I haven't been to that many Sunday morning Catholic services either. Been busy,
well, you've been busy?
Busy, yeah. But I've not heard that word emphasized as much. Usually, if it's a festival, or a feast, it's called that. But man, we learn something new every day.
Absolutely. So shall I give you this guy's list?
Yes.
Because it would be intriguing if there's some vital notions. By the way, while we were on break for the commercials, I was catching up on some emails, and a bar mitzvah we have coming up this Saturday. The young man is going to be carrying a family Bible, which is a bit about 130 years old. And I'm wondering out there if there are some items beyond Bibles that have some special ceremonial significance for listeners that they might be willing to share, that this has been in the family an heirloom of some consequence of vitality. I remember a family who's at a wedding, we used a Kiddush cup, a wine cup, that they had had from the family since the 1740s, and all the couples who got married, their names were very small, but engraved on there. At any rate, here's the list. He starts off with the eruption of Vesuvius by Pliny the Younger, the Declaration of Independence, Self-Reliance by Ralph Waldo Emerson, The Souls of Black Folk by W.E.B. Du Bois. He then gets a little deeper in terms of not brief things, The Odyssey, Aesop's Fables, Georgics, which I'm not familiar with, by Virgil, Metamorphosis by Ovid, The Canticle of the Sun by St. Francis, and that's a brief one.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo and Juliet, Gulliver's Travels, Candide, The Fountain by Samuel Johnson. Either of you familiar with that one?
And back to Shakespeare, only Romeo and Juliet?
Well, this is a summer reading list that he's hoping, as opposed to stuff that's nowadays very contemporary, yes, he only picked Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
Gulliver's Travels, Candide, Ozymandias by Shelley, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, and The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe. So I'm just curious if other items that folks might think are missing from a good summer reading list for young people. My last one, well, I got two. Actually, got two. I apologize for going on. But we have the equivalent of Dear Abby here in Chicago. It's Dear, the column is called Ask Amy. Uh-huh. This one blew me away. My girlfriend and I have been engaged for several years and have a four-year-old son. But for economic reasons, we are still living separately. We often have conflicts because I feel she spends too much time with other friends and does not allow me the proper role of a father. I have suggested that we designate at least a couple of days as family time. This Mother's Day, we decided to go to a carnival and then to dinner. When she showed up with another guy and said he was going to hang out with us, I blew up. Was I wrong? I just can't. I mean, there are certain moments when you... Wait a second. What's wrong with this picture?
Truth is stranger than fiction all the time. Yeah.
Last column. This is a column in the Chicago Tribune called The People's Pharmacy, and the subtitle is Prescriptions and Home Remedies. The headline, Can you Communion Wafers Spread Germs Via Hands? You have written about a concern that baristas may spread germs when they handle coffee cup lids. I have a similar concern. The pastor of our church passes out communion wafers without using food handler's gloves. This is after he has greeted dozens of parishioners by shaking their hands. I worry that his older members or those with compromised immune systems could be susceptible to germs. My husband has had a kidney transplant and is on anti-rejection drugs. That leaves his immune system very low. Am I being foolish to worry? There is a brief response. Shall I offer it?
Mm-hmm.
There has not been much research on this question. One study found that some baristas do survive, some bacteria do survive in the wine, on the chalice rim, or on the wine-soaked wafer, and thus there is a potential for spreading infections. The researchers found, however, that people taking communion did not get sick more frequently than those who did not participate. Your husband's compromised immune system does make him more vulnerable than most people. You might want to give the pastor a hand sanitizer as a hint. Mm. One interesting product is CleanWell, using the antimicrobial properties of thyme oil.
Mm.
So for those who don't have enough to worry about, I've just given you something else to worry about.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I had this discussion Monday, Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. I went to the golf course with a friend who is a priest, and I was telling him how much I love being a deacon. And one of the duties of the deacon is that you purify all the cups at the Mass where people have drunk out of. And I just kind of said to him, I just assumed that I would get sick a lot because of having that duty. But I have not gotten sick this whole year, and I don't get the flu shot.
Knock on, et cetera. Yeah.
And he said to me, he says, yes, John, I've had that same experience, and I've never heard of any priest saying that they felt they've gotten sick having to purify or drink out of the cup after hundreds have drunk out of the cup.
Mm.
So there you go, a little testament to can you get sick. It's only anecdotal evidence. It's not a scientific study. But it is one of those mysteries, I feel, that are pretty incredible.
Well, there certainly are folks who are vulnerable, and they need to be aware of it, to speak with their minister, priest, someone about how they might be able to maintain both their challenge in terms of health and their responsibilities in their religious community of how they wish to embrace them. But I think you're right, John, in this regard. We're so germophobic that we probably have less resistance than those who are more willing to recognize, my gosh, that's the music already?
Yeah, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back after
these. I apologize to all our listeners for taking so much time already.
We're gonna take a break after these messages. We'll be right back.
I'm Bruce Brown, Certified Mortgage Planning Specialist with Prime Lending. Join me Sundays at noon for Dollars and Homes. Buying, selling, and financing real estate is serious business and requires professional advice. The Dollars and Homes Show provides that advice as we tackle important issues that could save you thousands on your next real estate or mortgage transaction. Join me right here for Dollars and Homes. Sundays at noon, visit us on the web at dollarsandhomes.com or call me, Bruce Brown, 816-286-HOME. That's 816-286-HOME.
Thank you. Happy birthday, dear Smokey.
Happy birthday, Smokey Bear. The great outdoors and everyone in it thanks you for 70 years of wildfire prevention. For safety tips, visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state foresters, and the Ad Council.
CBS News Update, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry injured in France. CBS's Margaret Brennan says Kerry was helicoptered to Geneva University Hospital.
Secretary of State John Kerry has been hospitalized in Switzerland after suffering a tumble off of his bike. He's an avid cyclist, but today he fell. He was wearing a helmet, but it does appear that he has fractured his right leg.
Kerry is in stable condition. It's unclear how long he's expected to stay hospitalized, and the status of his current four-nation trip is unclear.
He's scheduled to fly on to other spots in Europe, including a big summit in Paris to discuss the ongoing fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria. It's not clear at this point whether he'll be able to continue on, come back to Washington, or whether he'll have to stay at the hospital for more evaluation. We just don't know yet.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Skies will become partly cloudy overnight as temperatures fall into the lower 50s for your Sunday morning. Northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Sunday's shaping up to be a nicer day, at least a drier day with partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will climb into the upper 60s through the afternoon hours. Northwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Shulman.
It's Carson in the Morning.
A Virginia man has won the right to see his son, even though the child was conceived through a woman using a turkey baster.
I had no idea that that was actually even possible.
It might even be a better way.
Really?
I'm not kidding. I happen to feel that there are probably a lot of little basters running around. Hey, thank you very much.
Oh, boy. That's a promo. That's good stuff. That's just good stuff.
Carson in the Morning on KCMO weekday mornings 5 till 9.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Begin by finding a comfortable, relaxed position. Let out whatever stress is in your body. It could be from the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk 4 sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Or when you thought chaperoning the school dance meant actually dancing in the school dance. Whatever it is, let it go. The fire you started with that experimental dinner, let it go. The time you drove away from the gas pump with the gas pump, let it go. 3, very relaxed. 2, there you go. 1.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You can be a hero by being prepared for an emergency. First, make a plan. Call a family meeting to plan for things like how to connect with loved ones after an emergency or your escape route.
I am not fast.
Build a kit. When disaster strikes, it's important to have enough supplies to last 3 days. And don't forget the batteries.
Low battery.
Visit ready.gov/kids for more preparedness tips. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Diagnostic Imaging Center's Health and Wellmobile. Bringing health and wellness directly to you in partnership with McCarthy Auto Group and Lauren Wants to Know. Kansas City Pediatrics and Student Athlete Foundation of Kansas City. Now offering low-cost, complete sports physicals, including a free cardio screening for all schools with 20 students or more. Visit healthwellmobile.com or call 312-953-1702. That's 312-953-1702 to schedule your sports physical event today.
Hey guys, it's Carson. I hope you're having a great weekend. Monday morning on the show, you think getting broken up by text is bad? Oh, things could get much, much worse. Details, 5 to 9 Monday morning on KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time, this is the place. We are glad that you would share your Sunday morning with us and we are eager to receive your phone calls. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your day. Give us a call at 576-7710. 576-7710 is the number to call, and we'll put you right on. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Society of Our Lady, the Most Holy Trinity, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Throw logs on the fire, guys. Come on.
All right. John, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, we were talking earlier about solemnities, and today is also the Feast of the Visitation in the Catholic Church, where Mary went to the hill country to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, who was with child way beyond the normal means through Zechariah, this miracle of birth that came about similar to Abraham and Sarah's miracle of birth. And here we have an example, Michael, of where today could be celebrated as a feast, but a solemnity is the highest rank. So the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity takes precedence over the Feast of the Visitation. And on a solemnity, the Gloria and Creed are always said. And then if it's a feast, then feasts are like today would be the Visitation if it wasn't the Most Holy Trinity. And we have Feasts of the Archangels or most of the Apostles, and the Gloria is required on those days, but not the Creed. And then there's a memorial, which is the lowest rank, but not the lowest, but, you know. these are celebrations of most of the saints. So like John Paul II would be a celebration of most of the saints. He would be a memorial, and some are obligatory, where the whole church observes it, and some are regional, where just, for instance, the church in America might observe the memorial of the saint that is particular to America, and in Poland they'd have their own saints.
Aside from Eucharist, it does not per se mean that there will actually be some feast or meal of some kind?
No. But some, like our community, since we are named after the Most Holy Trinity, we will have a meal today.
Uh-huh.
With one another to celebrate the solemnity. Other solemnities in the church are Mary, Mother of God, January 1st, Epiphanies, the Solemnity of St. Joseph, the Annunciation, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, Sacred Heart, Nativity of John the Baptist, St. Peter and Paul, Assumption of Mary, All Saints, Christ the King, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, I definitively and absolutely...
You learned something today.
But my real problem is, how am I going to work it into a sentence?
Well, that's your problem.
I agreed. What else you got?
Well, what else do I have? Well, I just can't... For me, I've been doing my homily based on the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it is just a mind-blowing... concept. Nobody else believes this except Christians, that God wants to live and dwell inside of us, that we are the new temple, that we are the tabernacle, and that he's called us into this communion of how he reveals himself as the Most Holy Trinity. And it's so central to the faith of Christians, but very few people talk about it. It's the number one reason why Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to save us. Save us from what? Sin, so that we can do what? Have communion with the Father. It was like when Moses came, when Moses revealed God to the Israelites, there was a covenant that was established, and there were some strings attached. They had to obey the commandments. And when Jesus comes, he says, if you obey the commandments, there's strings attached to this revelation of the Most Holy Trinity, if you obey the commandments, I, my Father, and the Holy Spirit will come, make our home within you, and reveal ourselves to you. And that encounter with the Most Holy Trinity is so life-changing. It just changes everything, because you just are caught up in this love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That it's the purest
John,
form of love.
I appreciate your your conviction, your enthusiasm, and you're going to be preaching on this today. Is that right?
All day.
But I do want you to be aware that certainly only Christians, and maybe not all Christians, would use the language you use, but there are many traditions that talk about, including Judaism, that there's an indwelling aspect in human beings that connects them to the Most High, or whatever word one wants to use. In fact, in the first chapter of Genesis suggests that notion that human beings are created in image of God. And in this past Saturday, the Torah portion included the so-called priestly blessing, which, when looked at the Hebrew as opposed to how we translate it normatively, means "may God's light dwell in you."
There is an interior presence of the holy affirmed by countless expressions of religious faith around the world, and it'd be interesting to hear from our listeners their perspective, even if it differs a little bit from John's, or maybe especially if it differs a little bit from John's. So, anyway, John, what else?
That's all I got.
That's a lot.
Where are you speaking today?
I'm speaking at St. Louis Church. And then
where is it?
It's 5900 Swope Parkway. Uh-huh. And at 7 p.m. tonight, we will be leading the Vespers, which is evening prayer, at Redemptor's Church off Broadway, Linwood and Broadway.
One out of two for me, given my memories of Kansas City, and Redemptoris is a wonderful congregation. I don't know St. Louis.
It is a wonderful congregation as well. It is.
It's getting ready to celebrate, I think, its 100th anniversary.
And that's why I don't know it. It was around when I was there.
A great place of service, though. I think Redemptoris was the site for the Cristo Rey High School graduation last Sunday or last weekend. It's one of the best schools around, among the parochial schools, and also it's a beautiful sanctuary. It's got one of those sanctuaries that's beautiful to hear music and difficult to hear speaking because of the echo, Michael. You know about that. John, have you found that as well?
I have, and I'm trying to figure out whether you're better off without a microphone or with a microphone in a sanctuary like that.
Yeah. Mm.
What has been your experience?
Boy, that's a good question. Because the challenge of not using a microphone, assuming that one can be heard, is that your voice is shot at the end of the day.
Well, I only have to speak for 5 minutes.
Go for it, then.
Yeah. Well, two things. John, I thought I'll be very, very quick with my items put on the fire here. The Pope beatified slain Archbishop Romero last Sunday. That was exactly, but that was when it officially became it became official. And this is just shy of the actual sainthood of this man, but he will be Saint Oscar. I'm assuming that will be his name, or will it be Saint Archbishop or Archbishop Saint.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm gonna wait too for the.
Well, how do you call John Paul II?
Well, like
Paul
for instance, John Paul is called Pope Saint John Paul II. So maybe he would be called
Archbishop
Saint Oscar Romero.
Okay,
if he's canonized, and he probably will be
there an if about it?
Well, because
you gotta do
normally
the miracle thing, right?
No, because with martyrs, miracles are not required.
But is there any question, John, that he wouldn't?
Well, not that I'm aware of. To me, it seems like he's on the path.
But well, I think that
I'm a Protestant.
I would think that there may. I'm assuming that if Pope Francis has a long papacy, that you're very likely to be 100% correct.
I think this happens in the fall. I think the schedule is that this will happen this year.
That's very interesting because you know there was some controversy that the press reports about.
There's conservatives.
How does one address the appropriately the title now? The blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed. our Archbishop because of some concern about his theology, and I believe Francis addressed that very directly, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah. You know, I hope he's made a pope, and the conservatives within the Catholic Church
he's made a saint.
Made a saint, and I hope that the conservatives outside that are objecting will have a conversion of heart and see that this man was absolutely wonderful. And his resistance to the oppression in El Salvador preceded, I think, his even knowledge of liberation theology. The liberation theology, actually, Justo Gonzalez has been clear. He's not a communist, never was. He opposed communism. And I think this is a little bit between establishmentarian conservatism and siding with the poor. I think that that's what this is all about in terms of resistance. But I think that I heard that if this is the beatification process, is it the sainting?
The canonization.
Canonization process. Thank you, John. The canonization process will proceed.
For instance, some saints have been beatified, but it's taken a couple centuries, a couple decades to move to canonization.
And this one, I think, has taken about 30 years since his death, or maybe longer. So we got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Kansas City's talk station is KCMO.
Honestly, can you not take a joke?
Carson in the Morning, weekday mornings 5 till 9.
I could be a stereotypical white guy. Well, actually, I kind of am.
You kind of are.
I'm a cartoon
of a white guy.
I'm a cartoon of a white guy.
But it's all because they hate him.
Yeah, that used to work. That's not working anymore.
The Greg Knapp Experience brings you home 4 to 6 p.m.
We're not stupid.
KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
The Kansas City Ride Guide is here. Brought to you by James Roswald of Kansas City Accident Injury Attorneys, KC's own biker rocker lawyer. Pick up your free copy today at North Harley-Davidson North. The KC Ride Guide is your source on area rides, routes, and places to stop along the way. Plus, great articles on famous motorcycle riders like Def Leppard's Vivian Campbell, Meet Kenzie, a Ride Guide cover model, and more. Powered by Worth Harley-Davidson North. Why the hell not? You're worth it. Learn more at kcrideguide.com.
We all need the Common Core state standards to prepare students for college and the real world.
Why?
Well, when you're older, you'll need to be able to solve problems in lots of different ways. So you're learning how to do that now.
Is that why my math homework's getting so hard?
Yes, because it's no longer just about memorizing shortcuts. Now you have to dive in and really understand the math. It takes some getting used to.
Like my baby sister.
Kind of, but the standards don't drool on you. Learn more at commoncoreworks.org.
You may know that Doctors Without Borders provides medical care in emergencies around the world. But did you know that the majority of our patients are women and children? Providing women's health care in the places we work can be extremely challenging, but it's incredibly important. Saving a mother's life can mean saving at least one additional life, since children who lose their mothers are far less likely to survive. They need her, and we need her, because tomorrow needs her. Go to womenshealth.msf.org or hashtag tomorrow needs her.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, this could be the most important message of your life. Write down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-452-1653. That's 1-800-452-1653. By calling the treatment helpline for drug and alcohol addiction, you can turn your life around. Our advisors will match you with a proven 5-star luxury treatment center that will end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Your future can still be bright. When you call right now, you'll speak to someone who understands what you're going through. Let us help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there should be no cost to you. Take 5 minutes of your time and call right now. It may change your life for the better. Call 1-800-452-1653. That's 1-800-452-1653. Call 1-800-452-1653.
We talk about your life and your money on the Dave Ramsey Show. Now at a new time, weekdays from noon to 2 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time. This is the place. Do give us a call, and we'd love to have you be part of the conversation this morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Burke with the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
I did have one other thing, and that was that Flannery O'Connor was chosen for a new postage stamp.
Yeah. I barely saw that on something, and I would not have remembered to think of that. Thank you, John.
I have a few of her quotes. She says, "All human nature vigorously resists grace because grace changes us, and the change is painful." She says, regarding book reviews, even the ones who report favorably don't seem to have read the book. You get it?
It's very interesting. Flannery O'Connor echoes David Brooks's humility code. And did you get to read that on your way across the pond?
I did, as a matter of fact. Karen has stolen it from me at the moment. And I did finish it, although I didn't want to finish it, by which I mean I really enjoyed the portrait so deeply that I wouldn't have objected if there were a volume two.
You know, from time to time in the past, Michael, you, me, and a host, we've not done it with John. It's mostly because you've been out of town and flagrantly absent. So, when we've had some in-town gigs, that would be a wonderful one to do a gig about, you know? If we went to some civic club and discussed David Brooks's book, The Road to Character, I'm strongly urging everybody to get a copy. But I think the book is worth it alone for the humility code at the end, although you will be more enriched and understand its depths if you read the whole book. But he says, he echoes Flannery O'Connor's tenet that we are ultimately saved by grace. And he just has wonderful, wonderful things to say and to share. And I think it would help us. I strongly recommend that again. Did you hear about the Baptist guy that's now christening babies over in Ohio? Yeah, he calls himself a somewhat Catholic Baptist. At first, a Rodney Kennedy and pastor of First Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio, has recently baptized an infant and says, why not, since we already accept people who have been christened and baptized as infants by transfer of membership as adults, when they request this baptism for their infants, what's wrong with that? And he hopes that infant baptism will elicit discussion among Baptists about the meaning of baptism, of course, and maybe open them up to a more sacramental view of the ritual of baptism. Sometimes baptism for Protestants, and this is more a confession and a critique, is more like a membership ritual, like, oh, I got to do this in order to be part of the club. It is a great blessing. And now, that's a few. I must say that I've not run across that among the adults or the youth who've ever been baptized at community, except for maybe one occasion. And that person eventually came to a sacramental view of his baptism.
Bob, do all Baptists practice, in terms of this effort by this gentleman,
yeah,
do all Baptists normally practice, first of all, total immersion and adult as opposed to infant?
Adult would be the wrong parameters for the age break-off. It can be as young as 5. I have seen kids baptized that young. I've heard about it. Usually it's by the age of 12 or 13. It's almost like that bat or bar mitzvah age. It's almost like John the confirmation age. It is at that time that you're growing into adulthood. At the age of accountability is the technical nomenclature for most Protestants and most Baptists. It is by immersion, full immersion. By the way, I like to say, just like they do for adults at St. Peter's Catholic Church here in Kansas City. So there's an immersion baptism, and it is quite powerful. An experience, very, very powerful experience.
Is it possible that this guy already in trouble for doing this or no?
Oh, I would imagine he will be reprimanded. Yeah, and he will be seen as heretical by the really strict fundamentalist. He will be seen actually maybe even not to be a Christian because he promotes that. That's the sad thing, that somebody would even question his faith and his Christianity. But they will say, if you don't believe in this propositional understanding of how you are supposed to practice your faith, you're really not a Christian. So that's sad. The other thing is Ricky Jackson, another place in Ohio, but this time the Department of Corrections was released after being in prison for the past 39 years, wrongly convicted. And this is he's the longest wrongly convicted prisoner in the U.S. At this time, released. Anyway, we're going to have, and also another argument against the death penalty, because you never know. You would save against that horrific mistake. We're going to be right back after these messages. We're going to listen to some news, pay some bills. You do give us a call at 576-7710. 576-7710. We'd love to be a participant with you in a conversation about spirituality, faith, belief, superstition, ethics. Give us a call, 576-7710.